of priests who came in understanding the elements of the law and the symbols of the faith, now finding their substance and fulfillment in the person and work of Christ, not taking a lead in it. We don't know if any of them became preachers or whatever, but they are in the body. And I can imagine, as Paul says, that each joint knitly joined together, supplying strength to the other as each one does its part. I can imagine how these priests helped these new converts, because they, for the most part, and especially at this point, the rest of the disciples were largely Jews. And so now what these priests are able to do is put the finishing touches on what they have now embraced in embracing the message of the disciples or of the apostles. They now understand Jesus is the one. And I can imagine that the priests who used to serve them in the temple is now serving them by saying, yes, that's what this was about. That's what the temple was about. And so as they move away ultimately from the temple into homes, as they now move away from animal sacrifices, because they won't do this anymore, and they now move into the Lord's Supper instead of the Passover, the priests would be an invaluable asset to the church in communicating the substance of what they are embracing. So as we see at the, as I want to close out just by saying this, we appreciate the wisdom that the Lord gave the apostles in dealing with this dispute. Secondly, we should say that the wisdom exercised by the apostles, not only in the choices that they made, but in making the choice, they also did not deprioritize the ministry of the word in dealing with this secondary thing. Let us learn from that, that we don't, that nothing should allow us, and I know of churches or pastors and growing up, when there's a dispute in the church, then for the next 2 months, we're going to be preaching about that dispute. No, we don't have to throw rocks. We don't have to try to smoke it out in the pulpit. Let us learn that the primary responsibility for the under-shepherd is to proclaim God's word as fulfilled in Christ, and nothing should divert us from that. Secondary issues are what they are, and let us deal with the secondary issues in light of the primary things that hold us together. And then on top of that, we see how God, from the very beginning, makes his church diverse. Now, here's the irony with Nicholas. Nicholas was from Antioch. He was a proselyte, but now he is one of the first deacons of the church in Jerusalem. Now, it's the responsibility of those Palestinian Jews to respect him, receive him, and honor him as one who is duly appointed by the apostles for the task of ministering to the church. In other words, he doesn't have to hear about, well, you know, you ain't nothing but a proselyte anyways. You know that? No, that should not be. Let us learn from both the apostles and their wisdom in not diverting from the primary things to deal with these secondary things. Let us learn from the people that our growth in the word is going to be seen and some of the choices that we make. So they are mature enough in the word to recognize the traits that the apostles has set forth. And as a whole, they are mature enough in the faith that these characteristics are available among those who serve in the church. And as such, we see the Lord continuing to add to his church, because notice what it says, that the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord is what continues. And brothers and sisters, what will grow us individually and what will grow us corporately is the word of the Lord. As the word of the Lord goes forth, that brings our challenge, the word of law, that brings us under conviction so that we are continually in a state of repentance and recognizing our failures. But the word of the Lord in terms of his grace in Christ, the word of gospel, that strengthens us so that we can be what God has called us to be in the place that he has called us to. I'm going to go ahead and close there. Are there any questions or comments on anything that we've covered here? All right, we have a hand over there. And for brothers and sisters who are watching online, we hear you. So that's why we want you to hear us. Oh, hit the remote. Okay. Yes, there you go.
You mentioned David talking about the house of the Lord, and I was just questioning mine. When David spoke of the house of the Lord, is he speaking about the actual temple, or is he speaking of being in the family of God and household in a familiar way?
I think both, but I think primarily the question is, does he, when he alludes to the house of the Lord, I think he primarily means the temple, because that's what gives an understanding of the body of the overall body of Christ or the fellowship. And so that's why later he says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to be a guest of honor in among sinners. And so I think he understands the otherness that is represented by the temple itself and God being present with his people. He is present with his people overall, but his presence overall is understood in that designated space. And so I think David had a healthy sense of the transcendence of the house of God, the temple of God. And that is the God who is with his people at all times. But I think it's both. Okay? Yes.
And also, I'd just like to thank you for keeping us on First Street. There's work to do on First Street, and there's work to do on Second Street issues.
Yes.
And thank you for feeding the flock and preparing the saints for the work of the ministry. Just like
Amen.
To say thank you.
Thank you. Amen. All right. Any other questions? All right. Good. Well, we are good to go. No other questions, comments? Okay, well, read it on mic. No question or comment, but a scripture.
Is that legal?
That's legal.
Okay, Ephesians 4:1, in light of what Paul said in Ephesians 1 through the first three chapters, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance in this cultural diversity and difference, mm-hmm. To one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
Amen. No, that's well stated. And that is our it's a challenge, and sometimes obvious it's easier than other times. But having said that, that also means we have to understand how important the primary things are. In other words, the widows will be fed something, but we cannot put feeding of the widows above the feeding from the Word of God, or whatever else it is. And so those things that bind us together define us as the people of God. We are the body of Christ. And so as we deal with one another and as we deal with the issues relative to our own personal experiences and our own life, all of that is lost as that's what we are continuing to put to death. I've mentioned my friend Don Matzett's book, Christ Esteem, which is a great book written 30 years ago. But he talks about what is it that defines us. And he says in the opening of the book that he wants to find himself as an American citizen of German descent who is a citizen of New York who is a member of the Lutheran Church. And he says, but now he came to realize that first and foremost, I'm a member of the body of Christ. And that's what fuels how I deal with New York. That's secondary. That makes my German heritage secondary. Everything else is put into place by virtue of the fact that I am a Christian, because to be a Christian means to be brought into union with the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Christ. We represent him. We reflect him. And so that unity, it can't be lost for secondary things. So, yeah, we have to preserve that bond of unity and the spirit of peace as much as we can. And sometimes we're going to leave shaking our head. Sometimes we're going to be, you know, whatever. But that's what it is. I mean, look at the knuckleheads that Jesus had to deal with his 12 disciples. We don't even want to mention the other 60 or 70 that were part of his disciples. But he dealt with Peter. You know, Peter was a handful. But he dealt with Peter. He endured Judas for all those 3 years. Okay? And so we have to represent and reflect Christ and deal with whatever secondary issue. It could be important. And no matter how important it is to someone else, it's still secondary. But don't deny how important it is to them. It's important enough to be handled properly. And that's what we learned from the apostles. And that's what seems to drive the church in those early years. All right, if that's it, let's stand and close in a word of prayer. We pray that everyone has healthy and safe 4th of July tomorrow as you spend time with family and friends or go to work, as some will have to do. Remember all of those who are on our prayer lists, and remember those who are with us as well as those who are not able to make it out. Gracious God, we come to you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We do thank you again for this day that you have blessed us to see and for keeping us in all of our going and coming and allowing us the opportunity to gather for the express purpose of the study of your word. As we can continue to look at how you dealt with the church in its early stages, we pray that that these things won't be lost on us, but that we too would be driven by the same spirit to seek unity on those primary things. And in all things, primary or secondary, and even with our own diversity and points of reference and our own backgrounds, that we would find ourselves first and foremost in the person and work of Christ. And as a result of that, that we would continue to build, put to death the deeds of the flesh and anything that would allow us to let things linger that ought not linger or to make things primary that are not primary. Help us in our going and coming among one another as well as in our witness to the world. We pray that what has been discussed here this evening has been clear, and that you would give us the ability to not only understand it, but to integrate it into all of our thinking, that we would be intentional in our pursuit of peace and in comforting one another and encouraging one another, that we, as we say in our church covenant, that we would be slow to give or take offense, but rather that we would be quick to seek reconciliation whenever it is possible. So we thank you for the witness of those who have had issues within the body and pray that we would learn from them so that we would properly represent you in this present moment. We thank you for all of those who are present. We pray for those who have the desire to be here, but circumstances would not permit. We pray for those who had the ability but no desire. We pray that you would continue to build us up in the knowledge of your grace so that we would be faithful witnesses in our homes, in our communities, and even in our fellowship within this local assembly, and even as we engage with others in other portions of the vineyard. We thank you for your faithfulness to us. We know that we live in tumultuous times, but these times are held in your hand. So strengthen us to be what we are to be in this present moment for your glory. We pray now that as we depart and go our separate ways, that you would grant us safety in our travels. We pray for all of our caregivers. We lift all of those who are bereaved. But most of all, Father, we thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy that is in Christ and is always available to us. Strengthen us in it for your glory. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.